Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap this morning. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but even in the wintertime, I'm still a St. Louis Cardinals fan through and through. Do I have any Cardinals fans here? I know you're worried. You're like, where is he going with this? I am a Cardinals fan. I love the St. Louis Cardinals. I keep up with, listen to them all the time. I follow the stats. This is the offseason. They call this the hot stove. This is when they're trading players and gathering free agents to be better for the new season. But, you know, I don't know when it started, but I love the Cardinals. I think, you know, Kumar's here today. Kumar's one of our original 30 members. Kumar, stand up. You're one of the original 35 members of Church on the Rock. And Kumar, his son and me were best friends, and they took me to my very first Cardinals game. Do you know that, Kumar? That was like 1986. That was a long time ago. Wow. 1986. And Ozzie Smith was there. And he's the man. You remember Ozzy and the flips and everything? The wizard, right? He is the greatest shortstop of all time. There is no better than Ozzy. But, you know, I was hooked. I was hooked. And over the years, it just continued to grow. I'd go to playoff games, blessed to go to World Series games. I mean, Tamara and I would go on dates there. My dad would take me to a Cardinals game whenever I'd maybe have a bad day or something like that. We'd go to the Cardinal game. And over time, you know, I started out as a spectator. I just kind of go and watch. I didn't know what was going on. But over time, I began to be a participator. I began to suddenly, I was wearing red. We got Santa on the front row down here. I was wearing red to all the games, right? And then I started doing the cheers with everybody, right? The organ players, dun, 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 dun. You know, I would get into all that. And, like, I would, people talking around, like, shh, be quiet. Like, this is, you know, I'd really, really get into it. And as a result, like, I really enjoy going to baseball games. It means a lot to me. Now, in my family, I'm not going to tell you who this is. She will remain nameless. But we have somebody who's the complete opposite of me. She hates baseball games. And what she does is when we take her to the games, she would actually bring a whole box of horse magazines. If that doesn't give it away, horse magazines. And she drinks horse magazines. She'd bring books about the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And during the game, she would read the entire time during the game, right? We'd be up. It'd be like bases loaded. We'd have Albert Pujols at the plate. It's a 3-2 count, and it's like the bottom of the ninth. And, like, you know, the crowd's into it. I'm there. I'm so intense. I'm watching it. And she's over there just in another world, you know. She's talking to people. She talks all during the game. She wants, seriously, at the third inning, she's already asking to go. She's like, is it over yet? Can we go? I was like, man, we're not even to the seventh inning stretch. And mom is wanting to leave. She's wanting to leave. See, I did it. Don't tell her. She's not in the service. But the fact of the matter is, see, my mom, she's a spectator. But I'm a participator, right? And that's totally fine at a ball game. But in church, in order for us to get the most out of service, in order for you and I to get the most out of our singing, our songs, our praise and worship, we can't be a spectator. We can't be just somebody that sits back and watches. We've got to be a participator. We got to take ownership of that service. The big idea today is worshiping God changes my situation. Worshiping God changes my situation. But before we can get to all the benefits, I think it's important that you know that why we're supposed to worship God. So real quickly, let's just look here. Psalms 150, verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath, right, praise the Lord. And the NLT says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Pastor had us a couple weeks ago hold up our hand in front of our face, right? And he said, if you can feel anything, you should be praising and singing to the Lord, right? In John chapter 4, verse 28, Jesus, 23, excuse me, says, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers, how many true worshipers do I have? We all are true worshipers, right? Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Notice that word spirit is a lowercase s. A lot of people always thought worship in spirit. That's like being taken over by the Holy Spirit. I'm in, you know, right? But it's not that. What that means is with energy and vigor. You are to worship God, to sing, to come into church with energy, excitement, emotion. The next word there, truth. That means with authenticity and accuracy. We worship and we sing to the Lord not to look good, not because, you know, we're just trying to get through the day. We're trying to make our mom happy, our wife happy, our husband happy. But we're authentic with our worship. I love this quote by Elizabeth Elliot. This is her definition. I think they got it for the screen. Yeah, it says, worship is not an experience. Worship is an act, and it takes discipline. We are to worship in spirit and truth. Never mind about our feelings. We are to worship in spite of them. And you know, if you and I, we want to get the most, we want to experience these benefits of praise and worship God, because there is benefits to worshiping God. We have to do it in the right way. We find out in another scripture verse, Isaiah 29, verse 13, that God, he despises lukewarm worship. Do you know what the word lukewarm means? It's like, it's not hot. And it's not cold. It's just kind of like meh, like right in the middle there, right? God says in Revelation that he likes to spit those people out of his world, lukewarm worship, right? Just kind of going through the motions, not really into it. And it's baffling to me, you know, because I'll be walking around in the lobby after service talking to people. And some of you are really bold, and you love to give me your opinion. I appreciate that feedback. Thank you so much. It's great. You'll call to you and say, Dan, you know, man, that set list was terrible today. I've actually had that. That set list was terrible. Like, who's picking those songs? Can you pick this song, do that song? I got a whole list for me. What's your email? Okay, I give them Tamara's. But what's your email? I'm going to send you a list of anointed songs, you know. And I think back to the worship. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but when we're leading worship, we can see you. We can see your faces. We can see what you look like. We can see if you're smiling or if you're mad. We can see all those things, right? And so I think back to this person, right, who's giving me this great feedback. And he says, I didn't get anything out of worship today. But as I remember back at worship, I'm thinking, the guy did this the entire time. He just mean mugged me the entire time. When is this going to be over? Looking at my clock, checking Instagram. He just wanted it over. He wanted out of there. And here's the thing. If you and I want to get something out of church, write this down. If you want to get something out of church, you got to put something into it. If you want to receive something from the Lord, you got to put something, you got to put effort into it, energy, focus, effort. You have to put emotion into it. And so many people, they just don't get that. You know, I think our society, we've kind of lost sight. It's gone to this thing where it's like church is all about me, right? Church is, back in the day, it was called the house of God. We're going to the house of God to bless God. But now it's kind of like, okay, let's see. How's the pastor going to lift me up today? Man, I've had a bad week. He better have a word. He better be anointed today. Does he got a free food truck out there for us? Is he giving away any hot chocolate on Christmas Eve? It's kind of become that, right? Which church can outdo the other with giving away stuff? And so it comes down to, you know, me. Like, what's going to, and we've gotten away from this whole thing, but what are we giving God, right? What are we doing for the Lord? That's what matters. So you have to put emotion into it. So here's some different excuses that I hear, okay? So number one that I'll hear, why we don't like to sing in church, why we just like to stand there and do that, okay? Number one I hear a lot of times from guys, right, is I'm just not an emotional person. Anyone feel that way? I get it. I understand. I'm not an emotional person, right? I just, it's just hard for me to show emotion. You know, I'm just kind of a stoic individual. Now, look at them at a football game or baseball, basketball game or something. But at church, they're not an emotional person. So write this down. Your heart moves when your body does. Your heart moves when your body does. So what God is saying, it doesn't matter if I'm an emotional person or not. It's not really about me. It's about God, giving honor to God, right? When I come in, my eyes, how I feel, all that, I throw that off to the side. Today, I'm coming to honor him, right? So here we go. So I'm not an emotional person, cool. But what I could at least do, right, maybe is just start here. Maybe raise your hand this high. Maybe you just move your mouth a little bit. You know, like this. You know, you can still look tough and do that. You can still look tough. But just start somewhere. And guess what? It's going to get easier and easier each week. Amen? So remember, your heart moves when your body does. Second excuse I hear a lot of times is, Daniel, I just don't feel like it. And I feel like if I would enter into worship today, it would somehow be hypocritical. Have you heard that one before? No, it's not hypocritical. What we call that is faith. What we call that is faith. What we call that is Christian maturity, where we go ahead and worship God. We go ahead and do the right thing, even when we don't feel like it. Even if I had gotten a fight on the way to church with the kids and like everything's just going to hell in a handbasket, I tell my spirit, like David, you will bless the Lord. You will sing. You will shout. It's not hypocritical, it's faith. And there's all kinds of scriptures about us praising God before we see the manifestation of what we're believing God for, or before things turn right for us, right? So number three excuse I hear is it's not my style of music. It's not my style of music. I get it. There's songs that we do here I don't even like. Can you believe that? There's songs that we do here I don't even like. But that's, again, where I have to, again, look at myself and I have to say, who am I doing this for? And then I focus on the words, right? I focus on the words. We know that the words that are here are going to be biblically accurate, right? They're going to lift up the Lord and put our eyes and our focus on him and what he's done in our lives. And so what I do is I put my focus on, maybe if I don't like the tune or I don't like the, you know, something about it, I say, man, come on, grow up. This isn't about me. This isn't a concert. This isn't some sort of like, you know, a worship night even. This is, I'm coming here to give praise to God, okay? Number four, I've heard somebody say this, but I can't sing. Damn, I can't sing. I'm terrible. Like, people actually left my row because I sing so bad out of tune. They got up and just left. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God said, make a joyful noise. Right? If they left because of that, that's their problem. You sing loud, make a joyful noise, and guess what? God's going to bless it. Another thing you could do is I told the first service when I was in Bible college, I had some guys, we'd be singing hymns. We sung hymns in Bible college. And they'd talk. They couldn't sing a lick. So they would just kind of talk the words, you know, kind of like mumble through. But they were making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So even though you can't sing, it doesn't matter. Go ahead. What matters is your heart. We know that's what God is looking at. When we walk through these doors today, he's looking at our heart. He's looking at our motives. He's looking behind what's going on with our singing. Let's look at Psalms 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my what? Oh, come on. Let's say it with our whole heart. I will praise thee with my
whole heart.
That's what God's looking for. People that are going to praise him with their whole heart. Now, let's jump into this. We got some benefits of praise and worship. The number one benefit of praise and worship is worship makes me aware of God's presence. How many would like to have more of God's presence in your life? Be more aware of it. C.S. Lewis said that it's by worship God communicates his presence to his people. He communicates his presence to his people. I don't know about you, but, you know, things could just be dark, gloomy, and I put on some praise and worship music, and it's amazing how it's like somebody turned a light on in the room. It's like I could feel suddenly God with me. I could feel his presence with me, you know, and I could feel all along, I could be going through some of the worst times, but as I begin to worship him, I'm suddenly aware, wow, I'm not alone. He's with me. He's got me, and everything's going to be okay. You know, our God is a God of laws and principles, right? Think about it. Think about everything that happens in the world. We got law of gravity, right? Laws of thermodynamics, right? All these scientific laws and principles, seed time and harvest, all these different things. And Dr. Miles Monroe, he used to say that God has a law called the law of environment. Everyone say environment. And the law of environment basically says that there's a place, there's a spot where each living being on this planet can thrive, grow, do well, and get better. That's the environment, your proper environment where God placed you, right? You think about it. A fish, its proper environment's underwater, right? You try to put a fish on land, what happens? Suffocates, it dies, right? And you think about a cactus, right? You don't see that many cactus growing in St. Louis, right, this time of the year, right? They're better in the desert, right? The more arid regions, right? There's an environment where it thrives and grows. And what Dr. Monroe said is he said, the proper environment for a Christian is God's presence. That's where you thrive. That's where you grow. Sometimes you get, oh man, well, why isn't everything working out for me? Like, why? I always seem to attract the wrong people. I can't seem to attract the right people. Why am I so frustrated? Why is this? You're in the wrong environment. You're in the wrong environment. God's presence is the environment where you can thrive, you can grow. God's will, his purpose is going to come to pass in your life. And let me tell you, how you get there is by praise and worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. Let's look at some of these verses that talk about how it makes us aware of his presence. Psalm 75, verse 1. We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. You are near, God. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. Let's look at the next verse, Psalms 140, verse 13. Surely righteous people are praising your name. The godly will live in your presence. So the number one benefit, praise and worship, worshiping God, singing, is it makes me aware of God's presence. Number two, worship energizes and encourages my spirit. Worship energizes and encourages my spirit. I just read a stat the other day that said 3 in 5 Americans will experience some sort of mental health emergency during the holidays. It may not even know that it's taking place, but 3 out of 5 are going to do that. And that's why I just encourage you. I know all of us, we've all got something that we're discouraged about, something that we're dismayed about, we're down about. We've tried over and over. It's just like hitting a wall all the time. I encourage you, it's time for you to begin to worship God. It's time to begin to lift up the Lord's name in that situation, begin to sing, begin to put your trust in him, and then watch your spirit be lifted. Watch joy come, a joy that passes all understanding, a peace that passes all understanding, rush in your life as you begin to worship God. Look at this. David in Psalms chapter 42, verse 5 and 6. I love this. Like, he shows us how we need to do it. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Okay, he's talking to himself. You heard Dad say, we don't need to listen to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. Everyone say hope. I will praise him again. Everyone say praise. My Savior and my God. Next verse. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember. Everyone say remember. Even from the distant Mount Hermon. Now there's 3 words I want you to focus on. We set them all together. Is that praise, remember, and hope. Hope is connected to your praise and your remembrance. That joy, that encouragement that you need so bad right now, it's connected to your praise and your remembrance. As you begin to praise, worship God, as you begin to remember all the great things that he's done for you in the past, guess what? You're going to find yourself start to rise out of discouragement. You know, my kids always tell me, they can always say, Dad, I can always tell when you're in a bad mood. I was like, oh, well, what do you mean? I'm grumpy, I know. No, because whenever you come home to work out, you always put on, like, mean music. What does that mean? Like, you put on some rap or you put on some hard rock or something like this. You always put on, like, you know, something. And I could just tell, right? And I was convicted. I was convicted, right? But look, I was thinking about, that made me think about praise and worship. See how we do that with that? That music doesn't lift my spirit. That music doesn't take me out of my discouragement, being dismayed and, you know, thinking nothing's going to change. But when I begin to praise and worship God, that actually changes the atmosphere, right? That changes my spirit and brings me to a place of joy. Number 3, worship brings victory. Everyone say victory and freedom. Everyone say victory and freedom. Is there anybody here you feel stuck today? Is there anyone you feel surrounded, you feel trapped? There's just so many bills, there's just so many creditors, there's just so many things going wrong. You're like, this is the worst Christmas, the worst holiday I've ever been a part of. You need to begin to worship God. I know some of you are like, this is this crazy. What is he talking about? That's not going to help. It's going to help. Worship brings victory. Worship brings freedom. Look at 2 Chronicles 20. And in this chapter, we have this story about King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, right? And many of you know this story. All these terrible armies, big, huge armies, these evil kings, they got together, and they were going to take out God's people, right? There was no way it was going to work out for them. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned. I mean, it just looked really, really bleak. Same thing that's going on in your life right now. Could have been, that's what they're going through, right? And so what he does is you look here in verse 21, it says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So you got the picture. He didn't get like weapons of mass destruction. He didn't get like bigger guns, bigger chariots, all this stuff. What he got was the praise and worship team. It's silly, right? Really think about that. Like think about Gladiator and all these movies that just came out. They're sending out the worshipers to face those guys. All right, next verse. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves and wiped them completely out. They all wiped each other out. Isn't that amazing? It brought the victory. Another story in the Bible I love, Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. You all know that one. They're preaching the gospel. They got thrown in jail for doing the right thing. Everything looks terrible, looks bleak, right? And what does it say? Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns. They were praising God. They were opening their mouth, and the other prisoners were listening. Next verse. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Isn't that amazing? When you begin to praise and worship God, the victory that you need, the freedom that you need, it'll show up on the scene. I heard an amazing story about one of Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin's camp meetings. There was a gentleman, he was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he had been addicted to drugs for around 16 years, just really struggling with it. He was strung out, in fact, that night, just having all kinds of trouble. He saw all these cars outside this building where this camp meeting was going on, and he just decided, the Spirit just drew him in. He decided to go. So he goes in there, and it says he sits down, and everyone's singing. They start the first song, and he says, he just starts to raise his hands and starts singing. He doesn't even know. He's just kind of entering in. And he says, as soon as he lifts his hands and begins to sing, he says, like electric, a lightning bolt, like from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he said, at that moment, I was completely free. I was completely free. It was like, I knew at that moment, no more addiction, no more, it was gone, totally gone by singing the first song. At the end of the service, he gives his heart to the Lord, and then he signs up for Rhema Bible School, and he becomes a pastor. He's a pastor this day. But it all happened, right? Because he opened his mouth, he sang, he praised God. So again, your victory, your freedom connected to your worship. All right, the next one is that worship brings the solution. Everyone say solution. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 is the story of King Solomon, who is the wisest king we know, right, on the planet. This was David's son, right? And it's a pretty cool story. He decides he's going to throw the biggest worship party ever of any king in history. I mean, he is going to just go all out. He's going to have the best musicians. They're going to have the biggest sacrifices. They're going to have a festival. They're going to be eating. They're going to be partying. They're going to lift up God's name. They're just going to be celebrating the Lord. No king had ever done worship like this, okay? And then let's see what it says happened that night. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. That night, God appeared to Solomon. After all this worship, God shows up with Solomon, okay, and says, what do you want? How cool is that? Right? What do you want? And I will give it to you. Next verse. Solomon replied to God, you showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you've made me king in his place. Next verse. Oh, Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, see, he's starting to talk about what's bothering him, right? Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern the great people of yours? So see, he, in that moment, he prays and worships God, but you could tell, see, he's worried about being a king. He's worried about having wisdom. And what happens? God shows up after all that worship and gives him the solution, gives him the answer. I'll give you, he became the wisest king that ever ruled the earth. And it was all spurned. It was all started by praise and worship. So you might laugh. Could worship do all those things? Yes. Worship could do all those things. Singing, praising God could do all those things. There's an evangelist, his name is Dr. Norval Hayes. He's passed away now, but he used to speak at this church when I was young. And he was a really successful businessman. He had a trucking company, had all kinds of things going, real estate. I mean, he was a multi-millionaire. But he tells a story that before any of that happened, one day he's driving around in his truck, and he hears God say to him, he says, Norval, my heart is broken for my people. And he says, why, God? Why? And he says, because it seems like no one worships me anymore. He says, they're always asking me for things. They're always rushing through a service. They're just like, they never take time just to love on me, thank me, show gratitude for what I've done. It's always about, give me this next thing. You know, we got three songs, two songs. We got to have movement. Give me this. Give me that. And I want you to tell my people that I want to hear from them. I want them to spend time with me in worship, right? So Dr. Hayes said, He said, I had a meeting that day with some preachers, and he said, I immediately canceled that meeting. I said, I just went back to my hotel room, and I started singing to the Lord. Didn't have an instrument, didn't have a tape recording there. I just started praising 3 minutes here. And then he said, when I went home, I'd take like 10 minutes here. I'd praise God. If I had, you know, a little bit of time after service, I'd go back to my room, my home, and I'd just take 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes there, begin praising God for who he is, loving on him. And you know what he said? He said once he started doing that, made that change in his life, he never had another financial need again. He never had another financial need again. At that time, he was starting a Bible school. He needed property. He needed all this money. Guess what? He didn't even have to take an offering. God just brought it in. And he believed that it was an answer. It was the solution he was seeking. It came through praise and worship. Isn't that good? All right. So what was number one? All right, let's try that again. Okay, everybody, look back at your notes, pull your phone out. All right, number one, as the team comes. Number two, number three, awesome. Number four, and then here's number five. All right, this is my favorite one. Worship gives me the right perspective. Everyone say perspective. You know, we live in a society that just seems to focus on the negative. You notice that? Like our news, our social media, man, it seems like today everybody, like, it's just looking at what's going wrong. We want to complain about this. We want to gripe about this. We always point out the negative about this person. We're jealous of that person. And if we don't watch it, it really does. It begins to condition us. It begins to condition us to kind of think one way or the other. And you might, and it's really, it's different. Now, I'm in my 40s, so it's really different in the last 10 to 15 years. I didn't notice as bad as this. But it seems like it's conditioned us that when one little thing goes wrong in our life, it seems like we just think everything stinks. It seems like one little thing goes off, like we just, the whole world is bad. The whole world is terrible because this, and how many know it rains on the just and the unjust? Yeah. How many know that bad things are going to go on in everybody's life? Good things are going to go on in everybody's life, right? We're going to see the wrong people getting blessings. We're going to see the right people getting blessings, right? But the thing is, a lot of people, they get out of balance with that. And they begin to then think, man, just everything's terrible. Instead of thinking about, man, I got a home. I can breathe. I got a family. I've been saved. God saved me. Instead of thinking about those things, right, we just begin to focus on everything's wrong. And then another kind of factor that's just kind of connected with this is like when we start to live that way, we start to kind of lose our identity. We forget what God said about us. When we start focusing on the negative, we forget that God has said, well, you're more than a conqueror. I've got a plan for your life. I'm watching over you. Man, you know, I'm working all things together for your good. We start to lose that identity, start to listen to maybe what our family says about us, We start to listen to what, you know, I don't know, a college professor says about us. We start to listen to a friend or somebody that's not really being spirit-led or biblically led. And we start to live our life by it. But what I think is so cool about worship is like when you get into God's presence and you start singing to the Lord, it's like he gets you back in tune. Does that make sense? Like with guitars, we get like out of tune, we get out of balance, and you'll see me before service, I'm up there trying to get it in tune, right? So it sounds good, right? And that's what worship does for me and you, is like we start facing these terrible things. If we take some time out to worship, the Holy Spirit begins to work on us. We get back in balance, we get in tune. Like I was thinking, like for example, like, you know, sometimes I'll be facing things I'm worried about or things I'm fearful of. How many parents do I got? You start thinking about your kids, right? And you're fearful about different things. Man, I'll really get bent out of shape. What's going on with Dad? What's that? You know, and I can go and I could close the door to my room and I could take out my guitar and I can start singing to the Lord. And it's amazing because God will begin to tune me up, you know? Like, I could be so fearful, but I don't know. Do you guys remember that old Fred Hammond song? It was one of my favorites, No Weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed. You remember that? I can start singing that, and all my fears just start to melt away. It's like God's just tuning me up. It's like that praise and worship just gets me back in the right place I need to be, that right position that I need to be. Amen? Amen. So give the Lord a hand clap. I hope that's motivated you to worship. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you've come today and you would say, Daniel, I've heard you talk about this peace that passes all understanding. I heard you talk about this joy. I've heard you talk about this relationship with God. And man, I can tell you, I don't have that. I don't experience any of those things. I don't even know the first thing about having a relationship with God. And I want that. I want that. I want to know the Lord. If that's you and you want me to pray for you, would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand across this place. Come on, raise your hand high. You say, I want to know the Lord. I want to have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. I'm seeing hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer all together. It's found in Romans, and the Bible says that once you say this prayer, you ask Jesus into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins, you have a relationship. Your inside is changed. You have a relationship with God Almighty, and he's going to give you a purpose for your life. He's going to bring it to pass. Let's say this all together as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, come on, church, let's say it like with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin and that you raised him from the dead. Now, Jesus, I ask you, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord another big hand clap? Hallelujah.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.